RK 101 or Priya. Called Bhakti Therapy, really something slightly ironic, questioning, are you serious? Now you're sitting here speaking fine philosophical and cosmological words about the world and about me, but what about reality here, my panic attacks, my depression, my all that which I have to eat pills for or take drugs for, whatever I'm doing. That black hole within, or the monster, or whatever it is. Well, if you have listened to this series, you may remember the episode in Jörgen Sundvall's hypnotherapy chair. Well, I think he's a major educator of hypnotherapists in Sweden, and yes, I took that course and worked, had my own practice clinic, if you want, downtown Stockholm for a couple of years. Until the kids came and I needed therapy, as I used to joke. But that was very educative and inspiring for me, and hopefully I helped some clients as well. And I actually think so, because this, what we call hypnotherapy, it works if done right. It's really about going to the roots of the problem and uprooting it there. And thing is, that's how we learn from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, from these books. I forgot which book it is in, from these old Vedic scriptures, that if you have weeds, you don't just cut them down, you uproot them, otherwise they will come up again next week. Similarly, this bhakti path, this bhakti yoga process. It's not just like atonement or clearing away symptoms, but it goes to the very root cause. Now, when we work as hypnotherapists, interestingly, that's how we often work. There are basically two kinds of, maybe more, but basic hypnotherapy approaches or techniques or whatever you want to call them. One is the suggestion method, where you give suggestions such as as soon as you think of a cigarette and the desire comes up there, then you would rather instead think of something nicer, which you know is better for you, and forget that other thing, and so on. So, and that works. It works for a time, a certain time. It's like I don't know how you can say programming the subconscious or something. But we also then tell our clients that there is a cause behind deeper. For instance, if you have a phobia, then we can give suggestions that make you less afraid of what that which causes the phobia or something. But we rather also see, when you're working with this for a while, then you you're down there in the deeper levels of our minds, that's the very workplace, that there is something deeper down there. And that's when hypnotherapy, hypnoanalysis comes in, which you could say is of the same approach as Freudian psychoanalysis, but you use hypnosis, and I would say it's more matured from old man Freud's times. But basically then you'd simply by relaxing more and more, you just go deeper and deeper into yourself and see what you find in there, and we create rooms where we can be there inside and feel sheltered, and then but there's a basement, you can go down that door there, and ooh, what are you going to find down there? But you are now safe. So we work that way. And then whatever comes up, maybe some pain in the chest, and oh, what's behind that pain in the chest? What is it that causes it? Oh, it's that thing. Oh, it's a memory. And then you let it come, and then all of a sudden you might be right there in a live in a memory from when you were a kid. Something that you then experienced as terrible and couldn't handle, and therefore pushed down into the basement, and but was still causing some From then on, unknown fear, or conflict, or I mean, And then you can handle it because now you're an adult. So once it comes up, then it may be of big. Again, like jumping into the black hole. But then, poof, it's gone. You're free from it. But then, and as I said, when sometimes discussed that with Jorgen Vegavan, to me this path then naturally of course led inwards, and which also my own bhakti path that I'm walking is leading me. So I could see that when, as a therapist, you're leading people into their own path that leads inwards. So why stop in the basement? Why not just continue? So I started including little, sometimes like experiments, little suggestions when people were deep in there. Let's continue. And some they found themselves there together with God. Some they just got quite inspired by going deep in there, at least imagining it, because we don't, when we do this, we don't necessarily need to evaluate, being critical as to what is reality and not. We deal with the reality of the mind and what's coming up there and why. And then if it's painful, causing problems, how to free yourself from it, how to deal with it, and of course at the same time how to become strong, healthy. So I thought of what I call existential therapy. I didn't even like the word hypnosis. It sounds like falling asleep and losing control. And you know, some hypnosisists sometimes show how we can make people do, act against their will even. And well, mind is powerful, and so yes, choose your guide wisely. in the school I follow, then we always include an issue, the suggestion that if any situation appears that you find uncomfortable or whatever, that you need to care for, take care of, then you will immediately be fully awake and ready to do so. Because, you know, sometimes people, well, among therapists is called transferal syndrome. The client may pull the therapist into his or her own microcosm, or and well, so you, if you are an actually certified and proper and trustworthy therapist, you are aware of that and you don't mix into that. You just help the person to explore it and solve it themselves. Anyway, I'm saying all this now, talking about how hypnotherapy works. But then to show, I hope, how this naturally leads to this, what I call existential therapy, where first of all, you continue going down in there, not being limited by the materialistic, I would say, frame of mind that our modern culture creates for us, tries to keep us within cage of the mind. You know, then sometimes it's just in the brain, but because that we are have left behind a while ago here. So taking a good walk here. But, for instance, going to the deeper issues, deeper questions. Just now I'm free of my anxiety or depression or phobia or whatever. Now what? And what caused it in the first place? And yeah, I mean, today that question is, of course, on the surface mind level, fairly easy to understand. And this world is rough and tough. I'm sometimes sitting looking at photographs from when my parents were kids, when I was a kid, even then, my grandparents, at that time of mid or early 20th century here in Sweden on the countryside. And when I look at the pictures, I can feel, I can hear the stillness. No cars there behind. The peacefulness on the countryside. A car going now and then, bicycle rattling. Hooves of horses. People shouting sometimes. And then the birds. And the bees, because I had more bees back then. I mean, times have changed even since then. And we have got some pretty cool toys here to play with. Right? And a big wowie sowie cowboy gold digger world economy that we are all depending on. That looks like a great casino, and actually is. There are still weapons, bombs lying around. I guess in some underground, heavily guarded, as far as anything can be heavily guarded today. Dungeons. Bombs that can, allegedly, as far as I hear from the experts, destroy basically the entire, at least human civilization on this planet, because I think we are the most fragile ones. And so on. I mean, we can just go on and on, and how people we are towards each other. And you read in these old scriptures of the Bhagavatam and others about the Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and darkness and conflicts. And yes, that's where we are now. I mean, those old scriptures saw it coming, it seems. So, I mean, in other words, it's not strange if in this age you feel that anxiety, that meaninglessness, that depression, that, you know, that panic that wants sometimes to come up when things are just getting too much out of hand and too meaningless. And I mean, there is that, you say. I'm not sure, I mean, but I can imagine that's where many find that pit of darkness, that it just doesn't make any sense, life. And I mean, haven't mentioned those who simply take their own lives, suicide, which is not a solution, except of course that you are now outside of that physical body, which doesn't exist anymore, and you're hanging out here in your pranic, ethereal body, unable to really interact with everyone else here now, including those you love. So I think it's a rather unhappy situation, so don't try that. It's not that easy, you know. But anyway, please just try and remember these words. That, and that's why I was talking about this existential therapy that we kind of developed. And now I like to call it bhakti therapy, because that's really how, what's there at the bottom of it, or at the center of it. That yes, it's existential. It's not just about how to fix it, that problem that haunts you right now. Just as it is not purpose of prayer to God, to just ask for some money. And I would say that that's a great misconception that some people suffer from, I would say. The fear of go that path in there to the, wow, what's in there, to the real me and God. Is there a God in there? And who can that be? or simply that it would, that such a, even acceptance of such a possibility would be too unscientific, and I would be laughed at by the entire sober scientific community. But just as on this channel, we talk about bhakti therapy sometimes, and we're doing it sometimes, but I see the whole thing as part of that therapy, that bhakti path. Because when your worldview, that which we have there at the bottom of our hearts and minds, who I am and what is the world I'm in and what's it all about, first of all, that one is answered. And I, who am a very scientific person, but also came to the point in my youth of rejecting materialistic science, physics, at least their cosmological explanation and things like that, because it doesn't make sense. It became a religion where you're just supposed to believe. And I became a bhakta, servant of God, devotee of Krishna, going totally against the tide of my time and place, I can tell you. And yes, I remember the critical moments there of accepting not only the existence of God, but the supremacy of God. Now, yes, I am here now. I am your servant. You are my Lord and Master. And that takes on that false ego in there, that, you know, I am like, and I was really like that, me and my friends. No, accepting authorities, no. God, bowing to God. Yeah, I don't know how people are now, but that's how we were. So, but anyway, what I mean to say here is that this, and I've repeated it many times through this series, this podcast, that by simply understanding our relationship to God, and that God is not that big master on a throne beating us in the head with his wand if we don't please him, is our best friend. Loves us always, even when we don't love back. Parent, if you like. And so on. We have these rasas we've been talking about. So when you start getting there, if you do it, if you actually understand what this is about and you live that, first of all, that feeling that may be there from time to time, and maybe for some of us rather often, of being in this, being alone in this empty, cruel space and out of control, and I need shelter. Well, that's where you have that shelter. And then someone said, oh, you're just imagining that God is there with you. Well, good for you. That's how God came about in the first place, fulfilling the needs of people, giving them shelter, because they're not as strong as we are. So yeah, that's how the materialists talk. And if that's how you want to be, if that makes you happy, then fine with me. I mean, as long as you don't hurt others. But yes, just let go, get in there, let... You think yourself, and you take those deep three breaths that we always start with. You can think, relax, but you can also think, hey Krishna, or something, meaning, no, here, just here I am, just give me shelter under your feet. And then you can be there, and regarding the health issue, well, it's about eating right and drinking right and not ingesting things that are unhealthy, even though they may be pleasant. Escape routes for the time being, but the most important to being in there with God, with Krishna, Radha Krishna, all the devotees. You read there in the old books about these wonderful devotees. That's how Krishna's devotees are. That's what the books are trying to tell us. To be like that and be together with such people and be there always with God in your heart. So you can do this meditation. Well, you could just close your eyes if you want and do it right now, and then do it again on your own. And just be there in the presence of God, the way you prefer to see God. And then, I would say even physical health, or to speak of mental health, would kind of come automatically, because you're getting healthy again. You're becoming yourself again. And that's what I often say here. I just want to become myself, to be myself. Not even become, because I am myself, but to just be aware of that. Not identifying with this dream character. Or rather purify it. So even the way I am in this world resembles who I actually am. And if we all do that, I mean, it could be real nice here, as long as it lasts. So yeah, I thought maybe we should make a little bhakti therapy next time about this.